Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is New York State Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney, the Republican candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd District. Assemblywoman Tenney has a background as a lawyer and business owner. The 22nd Congressional District includes all of Shenango, Cortland, Madison, and Oneida counties, and parts of Broome, Herkimer, Oswego, and Tioga counties. I want to note that I plan to speak to Democrat Kim Myers in a few weeks' time. Assemblywoman Tenney, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
I want to start with a broad question about how you'd represent the 22nd District. In 2014, you ran a primary against the incumbent Republican Congressman Richard Hanna. And prior to his retirement announcement, you had announced that you were going to challenge him again this time, should he run for re-election. Congressman Hanna endorsed one of your rivals in this summer's Republican primary. So what would be the main difference that voters could expect about how you'd represent this district compared to the way Richard Hanna has represented it?
As a member of the Assembly, I think that one of the things I'm known for is my aggressive constituent service and the work that I do to really go out and meet the constituents and find out what they're thinking and what they're looking for. Richard Hanna is also represents me. And the big difference is I'm much more aggressive as far as getting out and meeting constituents. I'm more of an active problem solver and really trying to figure out what's going on. That would be the hallmark of my time in the state assembly, which I didn't start until 2011. And I think that's a big difference. Plus, I think I really like to be with people and out in the field. I think that's something that Richard Hanna didn't really enjoy doing. I know I helped him run for office in 2008 when he first sought it and lost. And again, in 2010, I helped him and went door to door with him and getting signatures for him. And I did try to help him as much as I could back then because I viewed him as someone that would be an outsider and not part of the political process like I was, because I was a business owner and a lawyer and had nothing to do with politics as far as being an elected official. You know, of course, Richard has accused me of being a career politician when I started at the same time he did at age 50. So I had a whole life and a couple of careers before I even got into, you know, sort of actually accidentally got into politics. But I think that I would be just different in that way. I think Richard doesn't really enjoy being around people or dealing with, going to senior centers and working with people of all walks of life, particularly the ones that I deal with in the assembly. A lot of them are retired. Many people with special needs. Those are some of the focus that we have in the state assembly, because that's part of the dictate of the state constitution requires us to focus on education, focus on people with special needs, focus on the truly needy, focus on helping the people in the community that need it most. And that's what government services are for. So the federal constitution is a little bit different focus. You're dealing with the primary concerns are going to be national defense and border security and dealing with larger economic questions as far as dealing with the Trans-Pacific Partnership or trade and those types of things. So it's a little different than we deal with on the state level.
I want to get into some of those issues in a minute, but let me push you a little bit on this and talk about this district. Many political analysts see this district, as well as some of the others in this region, as fundamentally politically moderate. Overall, I mean, John Katko, for example, currently represents the 24th district. So as an avowed conservative, how do you address the concerns about your fit with the 22nd district in terms of the kinds of things you'd push, the positions that you take? You talked about constituency service before, but in those terms, what about the fit between you and a district like the 22nd?
Well, can you just give me just a clue as to your question and define what you mean and what you think a moderate is?
Well, what I'm thinking of in particular, and I guess I was thinking of the way that you've run. You've challenged Richard Hanna from the right. That was clear.
But my question is, what do you think a moderate is, your definition of a moderate?
Well,
because I mean, you're asking me it's considered moderate. What is moderate? I mean, that's my question first.
Okay. Most people would look for moderates if they're looking at members of Congress as instances of breaking with, for lack of a better word, the Tea Party coalition, folks that are more on the right that are voting in a certain way. Sometimes people will look for breaks in voting from the Republican leadership position. That's something that the media
often
looks at.
So it's big government versus small government.
No, I think it's in terms of I don't want to go through all this, but all the different issues. But I think it's fair to say that you have described yourself as a conservative, that you distinguished yourself from Richard Hanna, not just in terms of his constituency service, but also the positions that he took and the things that he pushed, the votes that he took, and the way that you have presented yourself in this second primary that you've run and won again as the more conservative alternative.
Right.
I think that's your way of describing yourself.
Well, so let me describe myself, because I've been described in so many ways that are completely inaccurate. So what I am is a constitutionalist. I'm a person who takes the oath of office, like all of us, whether you're an elected official, a police officer, a member of the armed services. We take an oath to uphold the Constitution, in my case, in the state and federal government, because I represent state residents. So in upholding the Constitution, there comes some of the things that may be in the state constitution might be described as moderate. We have a focus on education, special needs. In the national government, the focus is on national defense, as I said before. So when I say I'm a conservative, I'm a constitutional conservative. I think that we should uphold the Constitution. Moderates, I mean, they keep saying moderate, but let me just give you a little bit about this district, because this is probably, I think it's the second most Republican, the most Republican-rich district in the entire state of New York. It's an R+3. John Kako is running in what they call a D4. This is the Cook standard. So there's 7 percentage points different between this district and John Kako's district. Mm-hmm. So the district that Richard Hanna was originally elected in 2010 was the old NY24, which was basically a dead even district. It would have been about a zero district, meaning there was about the same number of Democrats and Republicans. This district has between 30 and 40,000 more registered Republicans, and it's much more conservative. And I look at conservative as constitutional. And I think it's really interesting, just the analysis that the media tends to spin it all out of control. In this world, only in the United States would a conservative, someone who supports freedom and individual rights and all those things, be considered a conservative, and someone who is interested in more centralism and statism is a progressive or a liberal, which is the complete opposite of what the definition really means. So, my position is you said Tea Party. I mean, I went with Richard Hanna to all the Tea Party events in 2010, where Richard Hanna said, I'm not going to vote for Obamacare. I'm going to try to repeal it, and I'm going to try to defund it. I'm going to support less government. I'm going to support less taxes. I'm going to support a strong national defense, because those are the core principles of the Tea Party. They also are the core principles not of the Conservative Party, but of the Republican Party and the platform of Reagan, who many Democrats support as well. And Reagan's platform looks very much like JFK's platform, who is probably the most popular Democrat that has ever served in the White House. So from that perspective, I'm a constitutionalist. I'm someone who believes in upholding the Constitution. And sometimes, people who are conservative don't know, so-called conservative, and I use the media's definition of it, someone may not like the way it comes out, but that's the way it works in a government like ours. So to me, I consider myself extremely reasonable and practical as a business owner, but I also think that we get out of control and we don't understand and take seriously what's happening to our tax base and taxes. And the more you tax, the less freedom you have. And I think those are just core principles of anyone who's living in a constitutional republic like we do.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney, the Republican candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd district. Well, let's go at it this way. What do you think are the most important differences between your positions on some important issues and those of your Democratic opponent, Kim Myers? Can you pick out a couple that really stand out?
Oh, yeah. The biggest difference between me, Richard Hanna, and also the possible independent candidate, Martin Babinek, is that I believe in small businesses.
You mean Kim Myers?
Kim Myers or Babinek, he's also an independent candidate, and Richard Hanna, too, I'd put him right in with the Democrats, is that I'm a small business owner who believes in policies that will favor small business, less taxes, less regulation. And I'm against cronyism. I'm against crony capitalism, what do they want to call it, taking hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money and giving it to the big corporations and basically begging them to either move to New York, live in New York, be in New York or our country, at the expense of the small business owner who's not receiving anything from government. They're the true entrepreneurs and job creators. They create 70% of the new jobs. And so I support those small businesses, as I'm one of them, and I run a small business. Perfect example, Kim Myers' family was in They were founded as a small business in Binghamton, and they moved to Pittsburgh and received all kinds of benefits from government to move there. She claims she left because they had to have a hub with an airport, but Syracuse is right down the road from Binghamton and much more convenient and in New York. My business is celebrating its 70th year here in New York, and sadly, it's tough to compete because of the high taxes, the high regulatory burden, the high energy costs, and the basically just a really unfriendly business attitude. And of course, if you relocate near a SUNY campus, you're going to get all kinds of money from Andrew Cuomo's failed Startup New York program, which Kim Myers is currently about to benefit from, her family business, because now, just coincidentally, a couple of weeks before the election, they're going to be moving a distribution center for Dick's Sporting Goods right back into Binghamton conveniently before the election. And Martin Babinek was one of the biggest supporters and proponents and actively campaigned throughout the state of New York with Governor Cuomo and his failed Startup New York program.
So all of those things.
So they're cronyists, and I'm a small business owner.
All of those things.
And Richard Hanna as well.
All of those things that you're mentioning sound to me like important state issues.
They're federal issues. The federal government determines the personal income tax. The federal government determines wages. The federal government is the one that's negotiating the trade deals, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, NAFTA, the Mexico trade deal, the Korean trade deal, the trade deals that have taken jobs out of our area. Have created the made the Rust Belt even rustier. There's very few. I'm not sure of the exact number of manufacturing jobs that have been lost, but I'm one of the last manufacturers left in our county. There's not too many of us left, and it's very difficult to compete when one of our biggest customers, who is in an Onondaga County business, moved to Mexico because of a better trade relationship. That should never happen. I mean, I just met this week. I kicked off my new jobs program with a wonderful little company called Liberty Manufacturing. It's a takeover of the old Oneida facility, the Oneida longtime company, Oneida Silversmiths, that was in Oneida, New York. And they're building flatware for use with individuals. I mean, it's really amazing. They're rebuilding. They're bringing manufacturing jobs back. And this is what we have to do. And if we're going to grow jobs and have As I will say, a workforce development person once told me, we need regular jobs for regular people, and that's what we should be bringing back to New York. I'm not against high-tech jobs. We should definitely pursue them, but we have to pursue jobs across all strata. Not everybody is going to be suited to work in the nano center, for example, if they don't have the degree, or an engineer. Not everybody's going to be an engineer. We have a great middle class that can do wonderful, creative, wonderful work for us as American citizens. So I would oppose the trade deals, unlike my opponents. I would renegotiate them. I wouldn't undermine American sovereignty like the trade deals do. I wouldn't eliminate what they call cool labeling. That's the country of origin labeling. So we know where something's produced. The TPP, if it's voted on, and I'm sure Richard Hanna will vote for it later this year, we'll take that away. So our consumers don't even know if they walk into a store if they're buying something that was made in China, Korea, or right here in the USA. So, they would subject our private corporations, U.S.-based corporations would be forced to go into the world court to litigate claims. And, you know, that's just not fair to our businesses. You know, we need to protect our own businesses. We need to certainly trade with the world. But these agreements could be negotiated in a much more favorable position for our American-based companies.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney. She's the Republican candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd Congressional District. You've endorsed Donald Trump.
No, but...
Oh.
I support him for president. I won't support Hillary Clinton, but I've never endorsed anyone except Rob Astorino for governor in 2014. So
okay. So you supported him.
I voted for him primary, but as far as an endorsement, I haven't rolled out an endorsement.
I see. Okay. How do you view his campaign message and his tactics at present?
I thought he gave a wonderful economic speech a couple of days ago, exactly with the things that I've been talking about since I got elected in 2010, talking about what we've already said here, you know, low taxes, less government, better trade deals, trying to make the United States competitive again. I thought the economic conversation was excellent in contrast with what Hillary Clinton rolled out today, which is going to be really the end of the United States as we know it. It's going to be a takeover by what is European socialism, which is now called democratic socialism. She's moved right into Bernie Sanders' camp, and we are going to see the greatest decline probably in the United States if Hillary Clinton were to be elected. So I see it as I do cringe at many of the things that Donald Trump says and the way he says them, But Donald Trump is an alpha male. He's a warrior. He, you know, he chews on ice. He's a different kind of guy than we've ever elected. You know, I do hope that he, you know, I know people don't like his tone sometimes, but at least he's a strong person. It's going to take a strong person to reverse the really terrible course that we're on as far as a business owner in New York. And we just cannot continue to sustain the debt and the problems we have in this country with only a 1% growth rate. The worst recovery ever in a very bad recession. We need to, you know, move into policies that are going to be beneficial for growing this country so we can provide the services that we need to provide.
Is there any advice that you would give him if you had the chance to speak to him yourself?
I would say to him, stay on message and stop getting distracted by minutia, which I think that he's gotten himself caught up in. I would also say focus on Hillary Clinton, the greatest, biggest crook who's ever sought office on a national level, probably in the history of New York, as far at least in my lifetime, and someone who should really be behind bars, who should not even be allowed to run for president. I think Bernie Sanders winning decisively in the 22nd congressional district against Hillary Clinton and receiving only 25% of the vote of all voters in the 22nd congressional district says a lot about what the confidence level is in someone like Hillary Clinton. You know, I don't agree with Bernie Sanders, except probably on trade, possibly. We definitely agree on that in some aspects. But his honest message and his movement was something that even that, I mean, that just tells you how disastrous Hillary really is. And it's unfortunate that she's the nominee of the Democrats. It's going to be a rough election.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney, candidate for Congress. Let me pick up on exactly what you were just saying. And I wanted to ask you a question about Hillary Clinton. If she is elected, what issues could you see yourself working with President Clinton on?
I can't think of anything that I agree with her on. Maybe she would change her message a little bit. I mean, if she were more like Bill Clinton was as a leader and more of a charismatic leader who is willing to work with the Congress, I think it'd be a lot easier. You know, I just don't know. She's going to have to change some of her positions to work with the House. I know that I don't agree with her on the trade issue. Her economic policy that she put out today and yesterday, talking for increased taxes and, you know, infrastructure spending that I think that is not the kind of infrastructure spending that I would what I would advocate for. I think it's going to be tough unless she's willing to work and compromise with the House, which will certainly stay Republican. And I think that Paul Ryan, you know, is very smart on the economy and economic issues. He won decisively in his primary this past week. So I think if she wins, she's going to definitely have to come back down to the middle because she's been pulled so far left by the Bernie Sanders group. And I know a lot of Democrats who are supporting me who voted for Bernie just because they could not vote for Hillary. So I think that a lot of them would like to see their business people. They'd like to see common sense policy about, you know, supporting small businesses and dealing with this trade issue. And unfortunately, Hillary is not good on that trade issue. And this is a big issue in upstate New York. I mean, it's actually a pro-union issue, oddly enough.
So let me circle back around to the conversation we had at the beginning and link these two things. It's that let's take the way that you have painted Hillary Clinton and described her. And then the point that I raised earlier about your fit with the district, but more generally where you are politically. I think a lot of voters have a concern that we're headed toward another 4 years, possibly 8 years of gridlock and nothing but bickering and argument if we have this recipe.
Actually, I don't think that's what voters see. I'm on the ground every day. What voters see is a totally uncompromising, anarchic President Obama, who refuses to compromise. And I just cited a perfect example. Someone like Bill Clinton was willing to compromise with Newt Gingrich and the Republicans when they were controlling Congress in the 90s. But, I mean, the bickering, I think they actually get along too well. There's too much cronyism. There's too much, you know, the cabal of both the leadership, or I should say not leadership, more the consultant class in Washington, all working together against the people.
And I think, let me try this again.
That's why Bernie and Donald won so decisively in the 22nd congressional district.
But taking the way that you have described Hillary Clinton, and also thinking about a Republican Congress that perhaps
has compromised way too much.
Well, but let's
totally compromise. What have they stood up for?
Let's just look down the road here after the election. The question I'm trying to get at here is, I think voters do have a concern. One of the things they are frustrated with is the way things have been going in the last 8 years. And you have described a certain reason why you think that's the case, but there are other possibilities here. One thing that this all adds up to, it seems like in the voters' minds, is there's nothing but acrimony and inaction. So what—
But let me just correct you on that, because it is the media that says there is nothing but acrimony in Washington. And that's just the way the establishment wants people to think, that there is there's all this acrimony, we can't get along, so you've got to elect another Democrat. And actually, there are many people in the status quo that would be perfectly happy with a Hillary Clinton administration, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought I ran into the biggest, croniest, special interest, kickback, pay-to-play scheme person in politics, Andrew Cuomo in New York State. The only person that dwarfs him is Hillary Clinton. And there are many people on both sides of the aisle who want it just like it is. They're very wealthy.
So
what I'm saying is, what people would like to see is to actually have both parties contribute something. Right now, the Republicans, because Obama has used his pen and his phone, executive orders beyond what the scope of the Constitution is, I think people would like to see someone who would actually compromise. But Obama simply hasn't compromised on a single thing. And I dare anyone to name anything of significance that he's compromised on, other than the national security of the United States and a few other things like that. But as far as compromising with the Republicans, he has compromised on nothing.
So tell me how you see this changing. Let me finish my question.
Right.
Tell me how you see this changing in 2016 if Hillary Clinton is elected president, which seems to be the odds-on favorite at this point. And we only have a few seconds for this left. And you are elected and you have the colleagues in the House that you are likely to have in the Republican Party. How is this going to change? Where is the progress going to happen?
Well, there's the old expression, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting things to change, that's the definition of insanity. If we continue to elect someone like Hillary to be the third term of President Obama, you are going to see the same thing over and over. The American people are going to get nothing. There's going to be no change. Our economy is going to continue to decline. We're going to continue to be an unsafe country with, you know, overwhelming borders, growing national debt. And by the way, the former Joint Chief Admiral McMullen said the greatest threat to this nation is our national debt. And if you're going to elect Hillary Clinton, we're going to have even a greater national debt, greater threat to our communities. No protection on the borders, no protection of our small businesses. The globalists will come in and take over, and you're going to continue to see a huge loss in jobs, a deflation that is just a decline of the United States and a decline of individual rights and freedom as designed by this Constitution and our republic. So I see it as a huge negative. And as much as I cringe when Donald Trump speaks, at least his policies are going to be something that are going to move America in a better direction.
That was Claudia Tenney, a candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd District. Note again that I plan to speak to her opponent, Kim Myers, in the coming weeks. Assemblywoman Tenney, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.